Psalm 128 is where we are. If you guys remember, I mentioned last week when we started Psalm 120, Psalm 120 to Psalm 135 are called, in my Bible, they're called the Psalms of Ascent. Sometimes they're called the Psalms of Steps or Psalms of Degrees. And there's a whole bunch of different theories on why that is or what they were used for. I think I told you last week, I sort of side with that. I think these 15 songs from Psalm 120 to Psalm 135 were the songs that were sung on the journey to Jerusalem as people would go there for the feast, the Passover feast, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, specifically those three things. And the kind of the cool thing about that is if you consider that, then our Lord and Savior also sang these songs, more likely than not. So other than that, they don't need a lot of explanation. So we'll just go ahead and get started and go through these. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Let's stop. I think there's a lot there. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Here's a verse, another psalm that we did earlier, Psalm 111:10, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it goes on, it says, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So that first verse of Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Do you guys remember as we went through the Beatitudes and blessed, 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 we kind of defined the word blessed biblically? What did we say that meant? Blessed is the equivalent to happy. Happy is. So think of the efforts in this world that we live in, particularly in the United States, in the pursuit of happiness. I Googled this morning. God bless you. I already covered it. I Googled the key to happiness earlier today, and I think it was 0.72 seconds, in less than a second, 144 million things came up. Think about how confused our world must be if there's 144 different things defining or describing the key to happiness. We have something, guys, that this world needs, or I hope we all have it. Sincerely hope you all do. The promise here is universal, and that includes everyone, regardless of age, race, sex, socioeconomic status. But it's exclusive as well. If you look at it, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So a little bit more than the beginning of verse 1, it's more than just having a feeling about God. It's more than just fearing him. That's the beginning of wisdom. But it goes on and says, blessed is everyone. So it's universal in the sense that it's everyone, it's available to everyone, but it's exclusive to those who walk in his ways. So all these other pursuits of happiness, this is the way. This is, happy is the one that walks in the way of the Lord. Why do we pursue all these other things? You know, we hold out. Think about the insanity of resisting surrendering our lives to him. I don't want a show of hands, but I don't know if you've ever been in that spot where you were just like, this has a ring of truth to it. This is something I know that I should do. The Holy Spirit is pursuing you and your heart's pounding, and this is truth and you know it, but you're not ready yet. You don't want to tap out. You don't want to surrender. You don't want to give up these things. Why? Because we want to be happy, right? We want to do the things that we want to do. But if we want to be happy, again, think about the insanity of not surrendering our lives to Him, the insanity of imposing our will over God's will. If verse 1 is true, blessed or happy is everyone who fears the Lord who walks in His ways. I'm not happy. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. I'm not satisfied with life. There has to be more than this. I agree. And we hold out. And the answer's here. Guys, I encourage you, if you want to memorize a single verse of Scripture that's relevant to this world right now, Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is, and explain to them, happy is, to everyone that you know is dissatisfied with life, is dissatisfied with people. I would gander to guess that nearly every person that you know in one way or another has been a disappointment. Even your pastor, maybe more so your pastor. But when we put our reliance and dependence on people, we're discouraged, disappointed, not happy, life is not fulfilling. You can have 6, 7, 8, 10 cats, and it just doesn't satisfy. You think it would, you think, but I know you guys, it's Wednesday night, you're here, you got it. But if you're listening online, what do you have to lose? You know, your misery, your discontent, that's what you have to lose. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Verse 2, I'll go on, but that's huge. Memorize that verse. We've got Awana going on in the back, and that's a big emphasis in that program is Scripture memorization. And I think when we grow up, we get away from that habit. And it's a good one to be in the practice of, to hide His word in our hearts. And this is a great verse. Relevant to everyone you'll bump into tomorrow. Verse 2, when you eat the labor of your hands, you will be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Okay, let's test these scriptures. Those of you that have feared the Lord, do all of you eat the labor of your hands and have a wife like a fruitful vine and your kids like olive plants? Yeah, I think there's a transition here between like the first verse, it's a promise, and then this is sort of like the prayer and the hope of the psalmist for the man that does this, for the woman that does this. It doesn't all look exactly this way, but this is the desired blessing for the one that fears the Lord. I'll just go through this. The rest of these psalms are pretty quick. So when you eat the labor of your hands, any of you guys have a garden this year? Tried to. Yeah, I'm blessed that others in this congregation had gardens this year. But isn't that a rewarding thing when you have a garden and it produces? Or you live next to someone with one. But you labor and you sow the seeds and you water, and maybe there's some steps here you left out. You weeded, you fertilized. Maybe some of that didn't get done. And that's part of the curse, right? We will labor, but there's still reward. In our labor, there's still fruit that we can benefit from that. Eat the labor of your hands and you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. That's awesome. And I know it was a blessing to some that did that and brought in stuff for others. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. What does that read to you guys? What do you think when you hear that? Chickens. She'll crank out babies, right? That's what you think? It's more than that. It's deeper than that, because not everybody has children, you know. But it's the idea of be a fruitful vine. Think of the fruits of the Spirit, and that she'll be a blessing in your home. And actually, it goes further than that. If you look at Song of Solomon, I think 7:6 or something like that, it talks about, I shouldn't have started down this road, but I won't quote the verse. Well, it's the Bible. It speaks of her breasts being as a fruitful vine. So it actually speaks of the blessed pleasures of sexuality within the marriage context. So fruitfulness, I don't want you to think of it as just birthing children, because this speaks so far beyond that. In the very heart of your house, your children will be like olive plants around your table. Olive and the fruit of the vine, wine and oil back then were valuables. You know, they were a sign of blessing, the wine and the oil. But what I want you to see also, because the one who walks in the ways of the Lord, those things weren't necessities. They were blessings. The oil from the olives and the olives themselves and the fruit to make wine, those were blessings in abundance beyond the necessities of, say, corn and wheat, things like that. So this is speaking of something, again, this is the desired blessing of the one that fears God around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Repeat it again. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. I haven't received that blessing yet, but a lot of you that have, and I hesitate to say it in front of your kids, but I hear it's better than your grandkids are better than your own kids, or more of a blessing. I certainly don't believe that yet, but looking forward to those days. But that would be a blessing, to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Psalm 129. Many a time, verse 1, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me by my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Okay, what did we say last week about repetition in the scriptures? See, this is why I repeat myself. The scriptures repeat themselves, right, is a point of emphasis. Also remember, these psalms are songs, they're poetry as well, so poetically this repeats. But most nations, if you turn on the news, if you go on Twitter and read half of the stuff our president writes, it's we want to state our victories. You know, we want to brag of the abundance of our country. I don't just mean us, but any country that's strong and prosperous, we speak of those things, the good things, the victories, the wealth of our nation. When it comes to Israel, their testimony is unlike any other in that they're not testifying of accomplishments so much as they testify of all that they've endured. And it's funny, when you look at our society today and we talk about the things that we've endured, we think victimization, right? Or the things that have been, I've suffered. And the neat thing, when you look at Israel, that's the foundation and basis of their hope, their testimony of all that they've endured, and that God has been faithful, and that they're still around. There's one commentator said that the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Syrians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Roman Catholics, the kings of Europe, the Muslims, the Czars, and the Nazis all did their best to wipe out the Jews, yet they remain today. Because of that, because of their affliction, for a lot of them, that is their foundation of hope, that God has been faithful throughout, and they still remain. So many a time they've afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel say this. Let Israel testify to this. Jews are survivors. Many a time they've afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. Think of a furrow, plowing. You know, you see, it'll be a while until we see that again. But in the spring, when they turn the fields, and then before they plant, you'll see these long rows cut into the earth. And that's the description there of how the enemies treaded over their back, that like a whip would leave a line or a cut from end to end across them. That's the idea. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. If I were to have a long whip and whip it across your back, you'd have a long wide line like that or a furrow. But how much damage can you do? Do you guys remember Nick's whips that he had on his motorcycle handles? Yeah. I should have had you pray. But okay, you could have done damage with that, right? But if you cut it up into little pieces, how much damage could you do with like a 2-inch piece of that, you know, flailing at somebody? And that's the idea, is the psalmist is saying, God made their weapons against us into nothing. They cut the pieces of cords of the wicked into pieces. Verse 5, I'll try not to use any more of you for examples tonight. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaths his arms. So make them fruitless. You think about, it's hard to envision this because we don't do this today, but flat clay roofs, and they grow grass on top of them in a lot of these Middle Eastern countries. And the grass in the spring or when the early rains come, it comes up quickly because the soil is shallow and it warms quickly. But in the same respect, it comes up and it greens and it gets all full and then it dies out. Same reason, just shallow ground and can't hold a lot of moisture. So let them be as the grass on the housetops. They're strong now and they look full and rich and vibrant. But let them die out like the grass on the housetops, which withers before it even grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand. Those that would come in and cut it for hay, they can't even get a handful. Let them be left with nothing. Or he who binds sheaves in his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. So the psalmist is saying, Lord, let them not be blessed. You know, I don't think this is as strong as some of the psalms that we talked about and said they were the precatory psalms, or whatever the right word is, where David says, God, break their teeth, you know. But the idea is, bless Israel and let our enemies not be blessed. Psalm 130, another song of the ascents. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. We've read several psalms, and I've talked about David experiencing these wild swings of being up and down, joyous and jubilant and praising the Lord, and then these low lows. And we've read the different psalms where he's cried out in the depth of sorrow, and he's cried out in the depths of pain, or other psalmists have cried out from the depths of poverty and going without. But this one's different. Psalm 130 talks about crying out from the guilt of sin. If you look at verse 3, well, just start again. Out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord, verse 1. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Hear my needs, Lord. Turn your ear to me. Give me your attention. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, literally it means if you should keep watch over iniquities, if you should charge us with our sins, hold it against our account. Oh, Lord, who could stand? So, do you get that? The psalmist, and then he says, But there is forgiveness with you. The only ground I can possibly have to stand on and be able to commune with you, God, or have relationship with you, or have you hear my prayers, is based only on your forgiveness. Because, God, if you were to mark or to keep watch or to hold accountable the sins, none of us could stand before you. None of us would have any grounds to commune with a holy God. Who could stand? But then he says, but there is forgiveness within you. That word forgiveness that's actually used here is only used a couple of times. It's the variation of it. It was described as being a late variation, but I think it's used once in the book of Daniel and once one other place in the Old Testament. But it literally means cutting off. That forgiveness, cutting off in the sense of like cutting out a cancerous tumor, that he would get rid of sin. But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Isn't that? Talk about ups and downs. If you've ever had one of those moments where you, maybe you're just going on with life and living life and doing it your way, and you weren't experiencing blessing or happy is, and you were discouraged and you were walking in sin and walking in compromise, and then all of a sudden you came to the realization of the grossness of your sin, the reality of the offense against God, and maybe your face even flushed and you experienced shame at the realization of that. And maybe it came when you got caught doing something. Or maybe it just came in one of those moments where you realized who God was. You know, and that sin, that activity that you were involved in, he paid dearly for by sending his son. Or Jesus coming and giving his life and suffering for that. And then that elation and the clean feeling of being lifted from that burden of guilt and shame. And maybe you never thought you really could. Maybe you never thought, you know, you'd done something so bad, or maybe done the same thing 50, 60 times. You know, and God, why would you forgive me again? But then you experience that cleansing and being able to pray and being clean and having nothing to hide. Some of you experienced that at different points in your life, of the freedom of maybe getting pulled over and thinking, oh, I wonder what he wants, instead of, I wonder what he knows. You know, but verse 4, some of you guys need to hear that there is forgiveness. God, I've got nothing to stand on except forgiveness, but there is forgiveness in you. It's available. And some of us think we get that in our heads, but we don't receive it. We don't forgive ourselves. And I think that's the encouragement of the psalmist. There is forgiveness in you, that you may be feared. There's forgiveness, and you just need to receive that. Right. Verse 5. Shall we sing it? I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Again, repetition. So dwell on that. Yeah, I got some head bobbers in the back. But think about that. It's almost hunting season. Everyone here's a hunter, right? Most of you. A lot of you. A lot of you have experienced that, though. You go out in the darkness of the morning, or maybe you just went out to see a sunrise sometime. You wanted to see the beauty of the sunrise. And you go out early, and you're there, us hunters, you know, you're just waiting for, after it's light out, for something to come out. But you don't always know that that's going to happen, right? You go time after time after time, and it doesn't. But the sunrise is different. You go out in the dark of the early morning, and you're waiting on that. You know what's going to happen. You know the sunrise is going to come. You just don't know exactly when. You're just waiting on it, but it's going to happen. You know, we've done sunrise services before, and we're always trying to time that. And around here, you don't know if it's going to be 20 below or, you know, 70. Well, it won't be 70, but you know what I mean. So, but the psalmist is saying, my soul waits on you, Lord. I know you're there. I know you're going to be my comforter. I know there's forgiveness. My soul waits for the Lord. There's no doubt in you, God. It's just a matter of when, like watching for the morning. You're faithful. It's going to happen. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. But notice he doesn't say hope in the things that God can give you, or hope in mercy, or hope in redemption, hope in the benefits of God. He said hope in God. Israel, hope in the Lord. With him there's abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Psalm 131. This is a psalm of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Lord, my heart's not haughty. I've learned to reject pride. Nor are my eyes lofty. I'm no longer arrogant, Lord. I've learned to set that aside, arrogance aside. Neither do I concern myself with great matters. This is amazing for Israel's greatest king. I don't concern myself with great matters. I don't concern myself with selfish ambition, I think, is the idea behind that. Nor with things too profound for me. Didn't get his eyes set on things above where God had him today. We see that all the time, you know. People aren't willing to pay dues. I hate to put it that way. I don't mean it that way in the church. But, you know, we see kids that don't want to go through training anymore. They just want to have this job or this position. I guess we do see it in the church in that, you know, we've had some people come for a short time and the Lord's doing something in their life, so they want to be the assistant pastor. You know, or they want to be the pastor. But have never served a day in children's ministry. And I don't want you to think that's like stepping stone, but they've never been faithful in the small things, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And serve Lord faithfully. And David is saying, I'm not concerned with things too profound for me. God, I'm content with where you have me. And I'm going to serve you faithfully where I am. And if you have something more, fantastic. But if not, I'm going to serve you here. Sort of what we're going to talk about Sunday. The idea that there's a role for everyone that calls themselves Christian to serve the body and help try to identify those areas for you if you're not plugged in somewhere. Because the blessing is not just serving the bride of Christ, but relationships come out of that, fellowship comes out of that, discipleship comes out of that. This psalm, there's a couple different ideas where it came from, but it could have been written. Remember when David's wife accused him of being undignified? Because he's in the procession as the ark is coming into Jerusalem and he's dancing and all that. This one of the thoughts of this was that this was his response. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound to me. Surely I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. I had to reflect on that because I didn't get that at first reading. I think I do now. If you like a weaned child with his mother. An unweaned child, a baby that's still breastfeeding, has hunger, has a desire to be comforted, and they want something right now, right? They want what mom can give. Kind of the idea of Israel be comforted in the Lord, not these things of the Lord, but that baby wants milk, right? But a weaned child wants comfort, wants love from mom. You know, it's not an immediate need to be met, but that relationship changes. It's not all about that one benefit. It's like a weaned child is my soul within me. A young child just wants mom's comfort, you know, not necessarily something immediate from her. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. This psalm is attributed to a bunch of different folks, and it doesn't tell us, so I'm not going to pretend to know. But it's about David. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. We don't actually have that pledge recorded. If you read 2 Samuel chapter 7, you see God's promise to David, and you get the gist of David's promise to the Lord. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house, nor go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Certainly sounds like it's David's desire to build a house for the Lord, right? God had built a house for David, and David wanted to build a house for the Lord, to build the temple, and went and asked and told he could, but then God said he's got blood on his hands, so it wasn't him, it was his son, right? Verse 6, behold, we heard of it in Ephrath, heard of it there, I think is referring to the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle which it was contained in. We found it in the fields of the woods. Biblical history, the Ark was lost, and under the direction of David, not Indiana Jones, it was found. This is why we go through the Old Testament, too. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Certainly, David, in a sense, but ultimately Jesus, your anointed there. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it. Again, 2 Samuel chapter 7, you can look that up. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body, if your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them. Their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore, for the Lord has chosen Zion, Jerusalem. He's desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I've desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed, the Messiah. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. Read that. Get some encouragement from that last verse. The enemies of the Messiah, God is saying, in the end, they will be clothed with shame. You know, right now in this world, it doesn't seem that way. But upon himself, the crown shall flourish. Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to have unity among the people of God? I do mean within these walls, you know, this church, but within the people of God, the one true God, but all the different denominational divisions and all the garbage, because this person believes this, but and they believe that, or they don't believe this, but they believe the essentials, and we're going to be with them for eternity. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head. Remember oil then? Different than we would think of today, greasy hair, whatever, but in a dry and arid climate, or it was considered a blessing. If somebody came to your house, you'd anoint them, put oil on their head, or maybe in their beard, and there was a fragrance to it. So it was hygienically, and it was good and clean, and it was considered a blessing and a rich blessing to put on someone. So when brethren dwell together in unity, it's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. To have oil run down would be excess, to do it to excess. The beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, not Hermon, Maine. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. 134. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So it's okay to lift your hands up. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. I'll go through this quick because I want to finish these Psalms of Ascent, this chunk. Praise the Lord, verse 1. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord and in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant, for the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. You can see these songs of praise as they're going to these feasts. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord above all gods, meaning all these false gods and idols that people raise up. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, speaking of the plagues of Egypt, both of man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings. Shihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, those were among the first to oppose Israel. If you want to jot it down, Numbers chapter 21 and Deuteronomy chapter 3 tells the story of those two guys. They were not just among the first, but they were notable among the adversaries. That's why I think they were mentioned here. And all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations. So these false gods, these images that they've constructed. Remember last week we talked about, Sunday, we talked about the earth, judgment coming by fire, that all these things will be destroyed. Idols of the nations are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Those who make them are like them. I read a good quote by Timothy Keller this week that this verse reminded me of when I was going through this. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. This quote says, if your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshiping an idealized version of yourself. The God I worship would never do that. I'll stand before God someday, and it's going to have to be good enough. That whole idea. If your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshiping an idealized version of yourself. You guys struggle when you read the scripture sometimes? Understanding God, or maybe some things seem harsh. Or maybe that's not the way you would do it. Verse 19, bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Psalm 130, verse 4. Just want to remind you, there is forgiveness with you. We're going to be continuing to talk about things that make people uncomfortable You know, I mentioned a few weeks ago the whole idea of covenant eyes and internet accountability and all that. I spoke with them again today. They don't do the group plans that they used to do, but they do these community things where everyone can be involved, and we'll talk about that more and probably be talking about things that a lot of churches don't talk about, but we need to. But there is forgiveness in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you that no matter how far we've strayed or walked away or pursued other things that we thought were going to make us happy, Lord, you remind us in your word today, blessed are those that walk in your ways. Lord, if we're discontent and we want to be happy, you allow us to just repent and come back to you and walk in your ways. There is forgiveness in you. Lord, thank you for these reminders. Lord, may they be an encouragement to everyone in here. I know they were to me, Lord, going through this again. So thank you for that. And Lord, we just ask your blessing on Saturday, the harvest party. Lord, that we'd have favor in this community, that people would come, that you'd protect everyone here, Lord, from any evil that might attempt to be brought here. But Lord, that we would just rejoice in you and we'd be able to get word out about Awana and different things that we're doing here with kids. We ask you for this, Lord, in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.